your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to God.
Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all the truth. He will not speak on his own, but will speak what he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I tell you that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
The Trinity, three persons, one God. For centuries, theologians, doctors of the church, priests, anyone who had any philosophical background tried to make sense of the Trinity. And so here we were in the seminary attending a course on the Trinity. And of course, we knew that we didn't know anything about the Trinity. The professor comes into class and says, the Trinity is a mystery. And we are now going to have a 3-credit course on the Trinity, 45 hours of work. And at the end of the course, the Trinity will remain a mystery. How does one then explain this concept of three persons, one God? There are many examples that have been given. One example that I like is about the piano chord. So when Tony plays a C major, he's playing C, E, and G. Three different notes, but one chord. Each of them have their own place in the chord. Another example given is that of the magnet. So you have a north pole and you have the south pole. And you have the magnetic charge or the magnetic field moving between the north and the south pole. The magnet cannot exist if there's no North Pole. It cannot exist if there's no South Pole. It cannot exist if there is no charge. But more important than trying to find out the ontology of the Trinity is the message that we get from the Trinity. And that can be put in the form of a sound bite. The Trinity is love in communion. So in the Trinity, there is no ego. There is no the Father saying, this is my job and that is your job. In the first reading, we beautifully heard the description of creation and how things were made. And that basically was the role of the Father. The Son and the Spirit were there. But at that time, it was the Father, the Creator, who had his role. And then in time, it came for Jesus to come down to the earth, become human like us, go through the passion, death, resurrection, and then finally go up into heaven to send down the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Gospel of John tells us. Jesus is saying, I'm going, and I'm going to send down the Spirit of truth to be with you. If Jesus had not gone into heaven, he would have been localized in a particular geographical area, and he would have been confined by time. Because he has gone up, we can have Jesus in his spirit with us 24/7. And so each of them have their own roles, and each of them have their own place, and they are totally loved in communion, doing the tasks that they have been given and making sure that each one of them together is one God. This message can then be taken to society, where we are all different people. It can be taken to a church community like Holy Family. Different people, different cultures, different backgrounds, people coming together as one community. In a given mass, there are different roles to be functioned. An usher, a Eucharistic minister, the pianist, the singer, the cantor, the Eucharistic ministers, as I said, the altar servers, the sacristan. So many different roles, and we are still serving one church. Let us zoom in further into the family. So from God, from society, from the church, we move into the family. And in the family, we can also model the family after the Holy Trinity. The Father, the Mother, and the children. Three different roles that people play within the family. And yet, there is an expectation of love, that everyone loves one another, and there is a communion taking place within the family. But of course, we are all human beings. And therefore, there is bound to be differences. The ego might come out, and there may be fights between the various people within the family. But the Holy Trinity continues to remain the goal, the target where we all aspire to be, to reach, where we can have that perfect communion with one another. And speaking of the family, today we are celebrating Father's Day. Many of us have had complicated relationships with our father, and yet father is an important aspect of our families. I'll share with you a short part of my own vocation story. So there I was at the end of my graduation, finishing a bachelor's in science, and I suddenly started feeling that the Lord is calling me to join the Jesuits. And I thought it was strange because I had never been an altar server. But after listening for some time, I said, yes, maybe. And I went and told my dad. And of course, I expected, oh, all the support. And at once he said, no, you cannot join the, because you're my only son and you're the eldest son. And there I got a shock of my life. And then I tried to argue with him and give all the reasons that I wanted to join, but he was quite adamant. Finally, it went to the provincial, and the provincial said, you know, your dad is still not ready to let you go. My dad changed tacks and he said, you know what, actually why I don't want you to join is because today a Bachelor of Science is hardly worth anything. There are so many people getting a bachelor's degree. You do your master's and then I'll give you my blessings. And well, I did my master's 2 years, and then I went and asked him, Dad, you know what? You said, do your master's. I finished my master's. Now will you give me your blessings? And he said, you know what, son? In these last 2 years, the number of masters that have been churned out, you do your PhD and I'll give you my blessings. Well, by then I was already 21 and I could leave the home legally. But what was sad is that month when I was going, he moved to our second home in Goa and I didn't hear from him at all. And so the time came for me to leave the house and I had to leave without his blessings. But 3 months later, when I did get my results and I got a first class, he sent a cake to the novitiate where all the brothers were. And on that was a piece of paper with two words: congratulations, Daddy. And for me, that was the first confirmation that yes, slowly but surely, he is now accepting the fact that I've gone to join the Jesuits. Of course, he did come to visit with my mom a couple of months later, and he saw that nearly all the seven of us who had joined that year were only sons. And there was one who had two brothers, but the two brothers had also joined to become priests. So then he realized that the times have changed. No longer are families having seven and eight children. So what he said, that if I had another son, you could join. Everyone is having only one son or one daughter. And that's what I tell people today. If your one son or your only son or daughter wants to join the priesthood or the religious life, you have to say yes, because otherwise we're not going to have any priest, because no longer do we have the big families of yesteryear. The love of the Father was there continuously. He wanted the best for me. And that is the same for many fathers. And sometimes they may not put it in a right way, they may be strict, they may be demanding, but ultimately they want the best for each of us. Of course, he was very happy at the time of my ordination. And then finally, I did do my PhD, and I finished it in Boston College 2011. And he was the only one who came all the way from Mumbai, India, at the age of 86 in a wheelchair to be present for my graduation. And that's the love of a father. When we are young, we want to fight with him, we want to protest, we want to rebel. But later on, we realize the love that a father has for us. And so I'd like to end this homily with a song saying thank you to all the people who, maybe it was a physical father who has inspired you, maybe it was a father figure in your life, it could be your mother, it could be a teacher, it could be an uncle, it could be a priest. So let us say thank you to them for being the wind beneath our wings. It was because of them that we've been able to reach where we are today. And so I invite you to keep in mind any figure that has really inspired you, and maybe your physical father, maybe someone else, and sit in a meditative posture and thank God for that person. At the end of it, we will be silent and continue to pray for that.
It must have been cold there in my shadow to never have sunlight on your face. You were content to let me shine, that's your way. You always walked a step behind. So I was the one with all the glory, while you were the one with all the strain. A beautiful face without a name for so long. A beautiful smile to hide the pain. Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I would like to be. I can fly higher than an eagle. For you are the wind beneath my wings. It might have appeared to go unnoticed, But I've got it all here in my heart. I want you to know I know the truth. Of course I know it. I would be nothing without you. Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I would like to be, I can fly higher than an eagle. For you are the wind beneath my wings. You are the wind beneath my wings.
Let us pray for the Father in our lives.